Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and this is part of the Priest System Teleseminar Series. We've been doing this now for 6 years. In fact, we're kind of innovators of this method of marketing. What we do is we give away tons and tons of valuable free material and information on internet marketing before the seminar. It's completely free. Anybody can tune in and take advantage, and we really hope that everybody does. These are meaty, fact-filled, impactful teleseminars. They're not come-ons for something else. We do everything we can to pack these calls with immediately actionable material. And they're all to help spread the word about the annual system seminar this year, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st in Chicago. And we are already selling seats. As of the end of December, we'd already sold 150-plus. And if you're interested, go to a system seminar, and you can read more about what we do. Our guest today is Kim Dushinsky. Kim, welcome.
Hi, Ken.
And Kim, you were you were a system grad from a fairly long time ago. I'm trying to think of what year you started with us.
I think it was 2002.
Okay.
Maybe 2003. I don't remember. I know it was one of the Cleveland or Cincinnati ones. Was the first one.
Okay. And your professional background before you got involved and added internet marketing to your mix is that you're a book publicist.
Yes. At the time that I started doing the system, I was a book publicist and was looking for ways to help both market our own business as well as help our clients more effectively market themselves.
Great. And you're still in that business.
Actually, what I've done is turn that into an online lead generation site. And I've been able to give up, actually, in large part due to the system, the whole hassle of having clients and staff and a full office and all of that. And now it's all entirely online-based, and I refer people on to resources that they need in terms of even other publicists who then offer me a referral fee.
Oh,
so
interesting.
It's really great, which freed up my time to launch into something else.
Okay, because you had a fairly substantial infrastructure before.
Yes.
And my
business partner and I just decided we needed a little bit different lifestyle. She wanted more time to spend with her baby, and I wanted to do some new things. So.
Well, now you had an interesting experience after your first system, and then we'll get right into the content for today's call.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody, it's a serious investment of time and money,
yeah.
And you took a chance based on what you'd heard about us, and you came to the seminar. And how long did it take you to recoup your investment on the seminar?
Well, I would say, just a matter of a couple of months. We were able to change our business so that, we were able to get more clients more effectively using, better internet strategies. We were able to launch some new products specifically for our clients on how to market more effectively with the internet. So we weren't, launching into a how to do internet marketing, but we were how to use it for, specific purposes. And then we also launched another product at the time called Start Today Fitness. And it was a fitness product that we were able to, using pay-per-click and some of those strategies that we learned early on when it was brand new, we were able to really, generate multiple thousands of dollars of income. I think it went from and these are round numbers, it's been a number of years, but something like $800 income into $28,000 in income because we were able to leverage the tools immediately.
Excellent. And now you have been involved in intense research in one of the frontiers of marketing. You've been commissioned to write a book on the subject,
mm-hmm.
and that subject is mobile marketing.
Right, exactly.
And when is your book coming out?
My book will be coming out in November of 2008, and it will be officially titled The Mobile Marketing Handbook, A Step-by-Step Guide to Creating Dynamic Mobile Marketing Campaigns.
Excellent. And you will be, from my calculations, and I might have missed somebody, but you'll be the fourth system grad to have a book come out after having attended the system. We've got Tom Antion and Perry Marshall and Howie Jacobson and now Kim Dushinsky.
Uh-huh.
I was sort of oblivious to the whole mobile world. I kind of resisted having a cell phone. It just seemed like another thing to worry about. And but in the last year, I've definitely discovered the value of cell phones since I've been traveling a lot more than usual. But what really woke me up to the power of mobile devices and cell phones is watching my brother's kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that they do use the internet, but they are far more involved in their handheld devices and their cell phones than they are in the internet.
Yes.
And it occurs to me that that may be a trend. In other words, that the next generation, not only do we have a lot of business people using their BlackBerries and their TiVos and you name it, now their iPhones, but we have a whole generation of kids coming up who may not actually be terribly heavy internet users. They may be more mobile users.
Yes.
So as a marketer, it behooves us to start thinking about this new mobile world and our place in it and how we can use mobile to advertise. So this is sort of a broad question, but what have you found about advertising and marketing using mobile?
Well, one of the things I'd like to you know, say, you know, you always taught us in the system about looking for the hungry market and, you know, is there a pool big enough to jump into before you head for the diving board?
Yep.
And so one of the things that impresses me is that worldwide there's 3 billion cell phone users. That's half the population of the world. Here in the United States, it's 215 million, which is 80% of our population. That's exceeding, you know, broadband use. So there's more people using cell phones than using the internet. There's more people using worldwide, again, using cell phones than televisions. Or PC
really?
Computers, yes. It's
wow.
It's like 2-1, you know, worldwide, of course. I don't know that that's the same statistic for the United States. But, yeah, it's really, I mean, cell phones are huge, huge.
So it's you know, I think, you know, everybody is aware of cell phones because we use them and, we're making and receiving calls on them, but we just might not be aware of the scale and the scope of cell phone usage worldwide.
Right. So now...
I think of cell phones and mobile devices pretty much as, you know, point-to-point communications devices. Like right now I'm on a cell phone and, you know, we're talking. Where does the advertising and marketing opportunity come in?
Well, sure, that's a great question. There's a lot of ways to use mobile for marketing. One is through, obviously, voice. You can use your marketing campaigns to drive people to call you from wherever they are. You know, they don't have to be somewhere and remember later and write down the phone number. They can call you right there. There's also text messaging. Now, one of the things a lot of people immediately start saying, oh, my gosh, I don't want, you know, ads to start pouring in on my text messaging. I don't want it to be like my email spam. And what you need to understand is that that's not what I'm talking about at all. First of all, it's not legal. It does go against the CAN Spam Act. It also is not smart. The carriers would not appreciate it. The people would shut you down and wouldn't be a good marketing tool. What I'm talking about.
We're not talking about text messaging, spamming people or sending messages that they're not asking for.
Right. The key with mobile is it's always got to start. It's always an opt-in, and it always generates from the client. So it's all about what value can you provide to a client. Here's a really great example. Let's say there's a restaurant. You go to your favorite restaurant all the time. And
okay.
You're sitting there eating dinner, and there's a table tent, and it says on the table, if you want to be on our text message alert system when we're going to have an impromptu two-for-one night, give us, text in, two-for-one, and they give you their short code, which is the number to text in. And you would do that. Well, then what happens for the restaurant is, let's say on any given night, for some reason, they're having a really slow night. And they know it. They've got staff there. They've got food prepared, specials. It's all going to go to waste, and it's not going to work. So they send out to their, people who've agreed to find out about this, a two-for-one offer. So, you maybe are getting off work, and you get a text message that says, hey, come on in. It's a two-for-one night. Right away, you call your spouse, say, hey, meet me at so-and-so's, and off you go. They can fill the restaurant. You've now gotten a two-for-one deal at your favorite place, and everyone's happy. It wouldn't work with any other thing. Email is too slow.
This has, I mean, actually people have managed to make something like that work with email somewhat, but obviously text message is going to be much more impactful, much faster, much more reliable, much more timely.
Right, right. And 45% of that 215 million people in the U.S. use text messaging. So it's, you know, it's a well-adopted technology. A lot of people use it, not just, you know, teenagers.
Gotcha.
Another, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I guess we're on a sort of, I'm on a cell phone, so we have kind of a delay.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so how about another example?
Well, another example is the mobile web. Now, some people aren't familiar with this or you know, don't do it because they maybe don't have a data plan or whatever, but you can go on the Internet on your phone. Most phones can do it. Even if it's a, you know, pretty basic model flip phone, they'll have some version of the mobile web that you can get through straight through your carrier. If you have a smartphone, you can go right on to the, you know, the mainstream, you know, web. Now, the problem with that is that, you know, the phones are small, they're 2-inch screens, they don't have quite the same memory and this sort of thing. So businesses have started to develop mobile-friendly websites. There's a lot of technology around how to do that. It used to be very complicated. It's very quickly getting a lot easier through technology. And so people can have, businesses can have a website that's specifically designed for mobile use. Not only in size, but also thinking strategically, where is my customer at when they're using this? You know, what are they looking for? Okay, they're probably looking for my location or my hours or maybe a menu of offering or whatever that may be, you know, whatever they, whatever they're out when they're out and about that they need to know from you. Save the articles and the, you know, the long reading things and things like that for when they're back home on their PC accessing the Internet. So it's a sort of a two versions of your website based on where people are going to be coming to you from.
Great. And so it's obviously it's a different design. Is it is it HTML as well to design a
No, it's not HTML. There's a couple of ways you can there's a service, there's several services that will transcode it. Basically, you can submit your basic URL and they'll help your they'll go in and when someone comes from the phone, they'll be able to tell if they're accessing from a mobile device or a PC, and then serve them up the correct version. There's also ways, there's also called WAP, W-A-P, WAP sites, that
uh-huh.
you can use some WAP website builders and just build your own site using that. There's one really great one called at getmobile.com. It's a free e-service. You can use that. That's where you could go to plug in your site or, you know, build a website. There's another one called MobiSiteGalore.com. Those are two of the free builders.
Okay. So, obviously, you mentioned that, you know, if you have an archive of hundreds of articles, that's not the kind of thing to put on your mobile site.
Yeah, I mean, you'll hear people, some people in the industry will say that, you know, because of the iPhone ads and various things, that some people really want the whole Internet experience on their phone. So there's sort of a camp of people who think that, and I'm in the opposite camp. I think, no, people really want just what they want mobily and small on their phone.
It sounds to me like small businesses that are locally based. Well, it could be a large business too, but businesses that are locally based, you know, with physical locations, should get on this right away because certain things like, you know, map and address and hours, you know, it would be very helpful to have that kind of stuff available on the web.
Yes, very true. I mean, mobile is an interesting thing. On one hand, it's the total global tool, and on the other hand, it's the total local tool. I mean, it's perfect for local.
Yeah, I tend to think of it more as a local tool, you know, especially if you're in a new city. Let's say you're trying to find a pizzeria,
mm-hmm.
or you're trying to find a place to rent a car, or, you know, just anything. So can transactions be made via mobile?
Yes, actually, there. You know, you can use PayPal to make payments on mobile. There's mobile shopping commerce sites. So there are There are actually companies, Emporia, or it's Emporia. They are an e-commerce company, and they actually sell physical goods. You can develop a way to sell physical goods and sell them over the phone, which is huge in Japan. It's like a $3 billion industry in Japan, or maybe more than that. I think that was last year's statistics. But, you know, so people are busily shopping on their phones while they're, you know, driving home, buying perfume and books and all sorts of things, which we wouldn't think about.
And that's called Emporia?
Yes, Emporia. Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of, you know, a long time ago when Dave Taylor used to document the 40 or 50 companies on Earth that sold things via the Internet. We're sort of coming back around to, you know, a whole new brand of pioneers selling via mobile. So in Japan, people are buying books and perfume and...
Oh, yeah, everything. They shop via their phones for physical goods all the time. Asia and Europe are way ahead of us, so they're about 4 to 6 years ahead of us. South Korea is actually one of the most advanced, you know, societies as far as mobile and technology and digital. They have a social networking site that is something like 45% of the population has logged into it and actively participates. So it throws MySpace and Facebook to shame for percentage of population use. There's a really interesting book called Digital Korea by Tomi Annan, and it's a great book to read for what the heck is going on in this mobile world that's so far ahead of us.
Well, it's interesting because the United States was ahead of the curve on the web. And so, you know, it gave people in Europe a chance to sort of absorb and figure out what was going on before things got deployed in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's kind of the opposite is happening with mobile Asia.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with their carriers, you know, the cell phone companies sort of opened up technology sooner than ours. How you can only buy a phone and then use it at Verizon, or if you want to switch to Sprint, you got to get a different phone, and that whole thing keeps slowing down our system.
That's not the case in other countries?
No, they have it's much more open. You can, you know, buy a phone and use it on a system, and, you know, they've sort of broken through some of those barriers.
Okay. I mean, imagine people are investing more in their phones in places like Asia and Europe, so they get more functionality.
Yeah, there's more built in, and they switch them out very quickly. I mean, there's something like less than a year, and they're switching out their phones. You know, so they upgrade more often.
Gotcha. Well, how can we use this new phenomenon to make more money? Let's talk about some of the ways we could do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's sort of two avenues here, two tracks. One is if you have a business that you need to market, mobile is another tool to add to your arsenal. It's a great direct response tool to add into your other marketing. So if you have signage up anywhere that you then expect someone to take action to come to, you know, buy something from you or come to an event or anything like that, you can add mobile into that to get them to respond right then. So people can text message in to RSVP for an event or get more information or engage with you in some way.
What would that look like on a billboard?
It would say, you know, text event to 12345, and you know, so it's like it's the call to action for something.
Okay. I've never responded. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people on this call that have, but I've never responded to an ad like that. I have seen them more and more.
Uh-huh.
But basically, what does one do? You type in a word and then send that word to a particular number?
Yes, that's called the keyword. Different than web keywords, but it's the word that you send in when you text message is called the keyword, and the number that you're sending it to is called the short code.
Okay, gotcha. So I could put that in an ad. You know, for instance, if I wanted to let people know the specials at my restaurant or let them know my menu. I could say, you know, send menu to 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, right. You can do voting.
Then somebody would just type that in and send the text message, and the menu would come back to them.
Right, right, exactly. And then you see how that's worked is you've marketed, they've responded, and now they've opted in. And so now you've sent them, right? So now you've got them in a technically, if you just say the one thing, then you can only send them the one thing. But let's say you say text in for our weekly specials. Now you can text them every week.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And now how do you set that up? What kind of technology is involved? I guess it's sort of like an autoresponder, I guess.
It is, yes. It's an SMS, you know, short message service companies, and there's several out there. The one that I like the best is Mobivity, Mobivity.com, and they have very affordable rates. It's all web-based, so you log in, you get a dashboard, and you can set up your campaigns in there, and then you use what's called a shared short code.
The keyword specific.
Yeah, that's getting a little bit more complicated. If you want to get your own short code, it's very expensive. You have to lease it, and it's, $500 a month, 3 months minimum, that kind of thing. So you want to go with a shared short code service.
Cool. Okay. And then they store all the data for you, and you can access it, like how many people have made the inquiry and what those numbers are, so that next time you want to send a message, you're ready to go. Can you send the message through their system? Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah, you send it through their system, and then you can also have them sent to your email. So let's say you're at a spot where you really, just want to know what's happening. You could have emails sent to you, so you can use it for a lot of different ways.
Cool.
So okay. I had mentioned that there was sort of two tracks. One is if you have a business, and there's several tools, not just text messaging, that you can use, which I'll definitely be covering a lot of those, at the system. There's also the concept of starting a mobile business. So let's say you want to take advantage of some of these opportunities that are here. I mean, it's kind of like it's like the internet, but it's 1995, 96.
Mm-hmm. But so there aren't a lot of mobile websites yet or mobile services in the United States yet.
Right. There's definitely more people wanting them than are available. There's even advertising companies that provide ads, and they have their shared revenue ad sites like JumpTap and Medio, and they are looking for people with sites that they can provide to their people and, to their advertisers, and so they're looking for sites. It's like the internet saying, hey, we need more sites.
Now, let me ask you, before we talk more about this, I'm a cell phone user, and I theoretically I can search the web, and I actually do. I do it primarily just to check my usage on my cell phone,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm very comfortable with that. And I have used it, I guess, also to just fool around, see what's going on in the news and stock prices and things. I don't use it heavily, but I do have figured out how to use it. But searching is something I've never tried, or I haven't tried yet. And I guess that raises a question: if you can have all these mobile sites out there, but how the heck do people find, the sites they're looking for? What's the process?
Well, the first way is through integration with other marketing efforts. It's really the best way to market your mobile properties is by, anything you're doing offline or online or tying it into a website or sort of integrating it is definitely one of the ways. So really anything that you do with marketing, just attach mobile to it as a direct response or an add-on. That's one really great way. Mobile search is a whole other world. Google and Yahoo both have search capabilities on the mobile web, but they have, you can still, it's back sort of back to the days where you can submit your site, and they're glad to have it as a site
that they
can serve up. I mean, this is the kind of, it's like a time warp in a way. There's also JumpTap and Medio are two of the other ones. I actually used those in the wrong example. The ad companies are AdMob. But JumpTap and Medio are two of the search companies that what they do is they provide what's called the on-deck search. So if you're, say, with Sprint and you go on your phone, you've got a built-in default search, which isn't really out to the whole web. It's Sprint's specific search engine. So it's what we call a walled garden. It's a closed community. It's like AOL used to be.
Right, okay.
You know, and so what these services do is they provide the results to these OnDeck, their white label search people. So they provide the search results to these carriers who brand it as their own, you know, search. They also are looking for sites. You can go to them and submit your site, your mobile site.
So just so that I understand, it's the mobile world is not really an interneted world in the sense that one mobile service allows you to access all search results.
Yeah.
Every vendor has its own search engine.
Yeah, it would be like, say you're home and using your Dell, and you see different search than somebody who's on their Mac laptop would see. I mean, that would be kind of the analogy. So yeah,
gotcha.
It's different. I mean, because it's within the carrier. Some phones don't let you go outside the walled garden into the main internet, you know, based on their service or whatever.
So it's even more limited than just search. Not only do they have their own unique search services, but but some services don't even let you go out to the wider internet.
Right, that's starting to go away. That is really starting to fall away quickly because people realize there's more out there and they want it.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely, you know, and it would still be the default setup, you know. So like I had to, when I got my Trio, I had to change it to say I don't want to look on Sprint's search. I want to check Google first, or I want to check the Yahoo, you know, put it in as my default search. Much the same as you do on your home computer. You pick how you want to search most of the time.
Okay, so since search is really, we know search is going to be really important for mobile just as it's been for the web. And I want to remind people or inform people that are relatively new to the internet world that, you know, it wasn't obvious how central search was going to be to internet usage initially. Search didn't really take off as a business category. I mean, it had Yahoo, but this wasn't the big deal it's become now. So, you know, I would do some strategy and figure out, okay, what material do I want to make available to my customers and my prospects using the mobile web? Then I would use one of the services that you talked about to help me design a mobile website, which is, of course, could be different than a standard website.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I would do is go to a company that helps me get my mobile website listed in all the various services.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. And so what you're saying, too, is that there's a lot of demand. It's really odd. There's demand for listings, which is really so different than the web, where there, you know, you search any given term and 100,000 references come up. It's just not like that on the mobile web yet.
Right. Well, some of the big companies are waiting. They're sort of, you know, got it in committee. They're deciding how much to put into mobile in their line item budgets, and that's leaving it open for those of us who don't have to have a committee meeting to decide something and can just get going.
Okay.
And I was also going to say, too, it's a very confusing industry. The reason I ended up doing my book was because I was starting to look for, okay, how do I learn this? I want to dive into this. And I couldn't find anything. There's a lot of really good books out there, but they're specifically about the technology of mobile, or about more of the carrier level, the enterprise level of how to work with it. And you know, in my book and the way that I work with people is very much, okay, let's start at the bottom, and work, you know, towards what you want to do, and very step by step.
Gotcha. Let's brainstorm a little bit about different kinds of businesses and how they might use mobile. I don't know if you're yet using mobile for your book publicity company. If you are, how are you using mobile, and is it different? And how is it different than the way you're using the web?
Honestly, I'm not yet. I've been so focused on learning the industry and learning what I'm doing and writing this book Honestly, I'll never take another book for granted again. It is a lot harder than, I mean, I spend days in research. I'm thinking about it constantly. So I have not yet implemented a mobile site myself. Part of it is some of these tools are very new. When I started looking into this last summer, they weren't available. And the pricing was, you know, we'll build your site, but it's $5,000 a month. And, I mean, it was just incredible, like the $20,000. I mean, seriously, like I got quotes from people for that. I'm like, are you serious? $20,000 for a mobile site? But so some of these tools are so new. But I will be building a mobile site very quickly, certainly for the system.
What kinds of things will you make available via the mobile service? Have you had a chance to think that through?
Well, you know, probably what I will do is I may try to develop a small, like, what I want to say, like a magazine-type site that would be, you know, for broad consumers, and I want to see how it goes when I do the listings and how the search engines, how long it takes to when I list to when they appear. So I'm going to want to have something that's more of a broader audience, so that when I get to the system, I'm going to have some actual statistics of, you know, okay, I did this and this happened, because I know that's really important for people to understand, like, okay, is this really, you know, how this is going to work? And, you know, this is so new. I mean, this is not like I've been sitting on this for weeks and months and years and just now figuring it out. It's all coming together.
Well, it's interesting when you mention, you know, the fees that are charged. That's exactly how it was in the web world.
Right.
Initially, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 to develop a really what now would be a laughably basic website.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what people were charging.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give some examples? I imagine in your book you've got some case studies of people that have used this technology and found ways to make it plug into their overall marketing strategy.
Right. Well, I'm actually pulling the case studies together right now. I was just at a conference yesterday in New York, and I'm going to be getting some case studies from some of the people that I met there. And again, I'd like to have a few local-based clients before I get to the system as well to have some more statistics. What I do know is that the response rate, particularly like for SMS, short message service text messaging, and I say SMS, I mean texting,
yes.
When people get them, the response is that they open them. It's like something like a 98% open rate. I mean, you don't get a text message and not look at it. You just don't. And then the response rates are really good. They're up in the, depending upon the campaign, people have seen them as high as 35% response from, you know, they you know, when they get the text and they take action on what they're doing because it's so personal and so powerful and so new. It's kind of probably like when email first started, you know, that was just, you know, oh, my gosh, people pay attention to this and let's jump in the bandwagon.
Well, email was really amazing. It was possible to write to people like Steve Case, you know, who was CEO
mm-hmm.
of AOL, and he would write you back. And there was a famous case of a journalist that was exchanging emails with Bill Gates, you know, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
It was just there weren't that many people using email, and there certainly wasn't any such a thing called spam. What about spam of text messages? Is that potentially a problem?
Well, if it is, it won't be for long. And the reason is the cell phone carriers are keeping a very close eye on it. Anything that comes through, you know, their pipeline, they are aware of and know about. And if a customer complains about it, they can shut down that short code number immediately. So it's all very overseen. And there's if you're using a short code service, they have an automatic unsubscribe. It's pended right within the message, so it'll say reply stop to end, and then it just does it automatically. So there's been some lessons learned from the wild west of email, and then having to get people a way to opt out and all of that. So it's sort of we leaped over a few of the learning lessons.
I think it's important to realize that this mobile world is most definitely not the internet. It's controlled by a handful of carriers.
Yes, yes, that is very, very important. There's some, it's going to start opening up Google's, I know maybe some people have heard the rumors of the Google phone and all of that, and without getting too technical, there's starting to be some people in the industry who are pulling together ways to make it more open source and where, you know, people can develop phones and systems and they all start to work together. So there's a lot of that coming, but it will be a few years down the line. But, yeah, it's different from the Internet in a lot of ways, but it's the same in a lot of ways. It's really, you know, you sort of keep thinking, oh, it's just the Internet. Well, no, it's not. It's a whole different tool. And there's a lot of different tools within that can be used. We didn't, you know, there's video. I mean, there's even more than we've had a chance to talk about today of tools that can be used through mobile. So
Google and Yahoo have their own mobile search tools?
Yes.
Where do you find them?
If you go to Google and I think just type in mobile search, obviously they'll put themselves up first. I don't know their URL. Yahoo is... OneSearch is their searching tool.
Is that the number one spelled out?
Spelled out. And I'm not sure if it's OneSearch.com, but if you go to Yahoo.com and click on mobile, you'll go right to it. Yahoo's is prettier, and I think they're at this point, I would say they're leading in the search race for being able to serve back relevant results. Google still gives you tons. And some of them are regular sites because they don't have enough mobile-friendly sites to serve up.
Okay. So it's good that Google's that Yahoo's ahead on something. Yes. So if you I'm doing this right now, I went to Yahoo.com, and on the left-hand side they have all the categories: answers, autos, finance, and one of them is mobile web. And I'm going to click on it right now. And this would be a great way for people to get a sense of what people, what other businesses are doing. So the categories that are made available are mobile services, developers, which those are the people that make the websites.
Yeah, and people who make.
And then partners,
yep.
Ad services.
Yeah, oh, that's a whole other thing, is there's mobile pay-per-click.
Yeah, let's talk about that, how that works.
I'm just diving into that myself, actually. I haven't gotten to that chapter in my book.
Okay.
But Google has, you know, they have AdSense available on there. There's JumpTap is another one of the providers. They're one of the search people that give the engines in, and they've also got pay-per-click. One thing that's very different is, as you can imagine, the keywords. People type in, like, one or two words, tops. I mean, it's very short search terms. Nobody's typing in phrases.
Okay.
The other thing is there's no, you know, like we had the Overture search engine suggestion tool. There's nothing like that. There's no way to yet, which I'm sure there will be. So that would be a really good business for someone to invent for to do that. So you're on your own for keywords. I mean, it's back to the Wild West of type in a keyword and you know, hopefully you'll get some, you're picking the right word. But it's one or two words, so it's easy to figure out.
Okay, and now I'm going to go to the Google one and see what they've got. By the way, I went to onesearch.com, but I didn't find, maybe I'm spelling it wrong.
I don't know if it's onesearch.com that's there. That's the name of their tool, so you would probably find it just off of the Yahoo mobile. I would go to my computer, but my dogs will start barking, so
okay.
I apologize.
Okay. All right, so we've got that's the pleasure of working at home.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm going to go right now to Google and go to mobile search, and I'm going to see what they come up with. And Google mobile search. And they're talking about Get Search, Maps, Gmail, and more. So you can have your Gmail delivered.
Yes.
Via your mobile device.
Yes. Yeah, it's when you stick your toe in the water, all of a sudden you realize, hey, there's all this stuff out there. It's pretty amazing.
It's interesting. What Google is telling me is, enter your mobile number and we'll send you a link.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
That is called a text-to-WAP push, is the industry term. Basically, it means they're going to send you a text message, and when you get it, you're going to click on the URL within the text message, and it will help your phone to open up your browser. It will save you clicks, so it'll basically give you a way to easily get into their site. I think it's also a way for them to, and I've done that. You don't start getting a bunch of spam from Google. Don't worry about that. You'll find that's a lot of things in mobile, is they'll have you put your text, your phone number in, and then they'll either text you or they'll interact with you. They'll send you a PIN a lot of times to your mobile. It's a way to make sure that they're dealing with the person who wants to really get it. You know, you're not, I don't know how to put it. It's kind of like a verification process.
There's a very successful website, and I'm assuming it's successful because it's very often in the top 200 or 300 of most trafficked websites. And unfortunately, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but basically, it's a fortune telling kind of website.
Oh.
That's really it's really a zodiac astrology website,
uh-huh.
And they have you fill out an online. They do it in a very crafty way. They have you fill out an online survey,
mm-hmm.
and the way you get your answer is by entering your cell phone number, and
yeah.
the answer is sent to you via text.
Right.
And then I think what happens after that, I think there's a fee involved to sign up for. You know, it's one of these forced continuity products where. You're basically signing up for regular astrology prognostications or something.
Yeah, that's called a premium text messaging. And that is, that's even more highly regulated because you've got money involved. So the carriers really, you know, in order to do anything like that, you have to put your campaign, you have to submit it in advance to all the carriers, and they can individually approve or disapprove your campaign. And sometimes you'll see, you know, that's why sometimes you'll see, you know, Sprint subscribers send a text to blah, 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 that they may have just partnered up with just one carrier to do it because it's such a pain to get all the rest of them. Or maybe it's a strategic move to help drive either traffic. But, yeah, the premium ones, holy cow, that's a whole nother can of worms.
Well, it seems, you know, and this is a matter of creativity and thinking a little bit about it. You know, we've given the example of a restaurant. A restaurant, you know, someone had a favorite restaurant that was constantly changing its specials. You know, I could see somebody subscribing to that, so they get a text message every day, you know, what's the special today? But every business probably has some kind of information that is timely and current, and your prospects and customers might like to, you know, receive, you know, regular notices about. So
yeah.
that's one way to play this. I mean, I guess, you know, one thing, for instance, could be, I don't know, tips,
yeah.
or, you know, reminders. I don't know. I wonder, have you come across any kind of a text message-based reminder service?
Yeah, you can use them with you know, anywhere that has appointments, hair salons, doctors, dentists, you know, anywhere that you schedule an appointment, they can have a, you know, a text message reminder component. And I've seen that can really decrease cancellations and forgetting and stuff. Because if you think about it, you would be reminding someone while they're out and about. If you call their home and leave a voicemail, or, you know, they might not get it.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I mean, if I were someone that set a lot of appointments, I would implement that immediately.
Right, chiropractors, you know, yeah.
Dentists.
You
know, another way to play this, you know, and I'm thinking in terms of regular reminders. For instance, somebody might put in a florist, for example, might put in, you know, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day,
yeah.
Special birthdays. And, you know, send its customers, hey, you know, Mother's Day is next week. You know, it's time to order flowers. Give us a call.
Well, and you can even embed a coupon in there.
Oh, really?
So, you know, bring your phone in. Like, you bring your phone in as the coupon.
Okay.
You know, show this for, you know, $5 off. and then you just have to train your staff that that's an actual coupon. And
or possibly their, could they, let's say they're ordering by telephone or online, you could send them a coupon code that they could use.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's so fun. There's so many possibilities. There's so much opportunity, and I just, you know, the people that get a chance to jump in early will be happy that they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know it's like being able to be one of the first people to have a website. We're kind of back in the, remember when people would say HTTP://
Yeah.
It's like that kind of a day where it's just about to people go, oh yeah, the mobile, you know. And if you're already there, you're going to be so happy, whether it's having built a mobile-based business or, you know, just using it to start to market to people.
Part of the challenge anytime a new media comes along is to be able to imagine how the heck you use it. And
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, you know, if you study the history of media, all kinds of amazing stories come up. Like, for instance, the inventor of the telephone brought his invention to the head of the British Postal and Telegraph Agency, you know, mm-hmm. that controlled all, basically, in those days, all communications in Great Britain. And the guy looked at it and said, what on earth would I do with that? I mean, it's a toy. I mean, what's mm-hmm. what's the point, you know? So very often there's the, and then I know the same thing happened in the Internet. I remember in the early 90s, people just, I mean, smart people, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Larry Ellison at Oracle, they were anti-Internet. I know that mm-hmm. that's, they all want to write that out of history. But I remember every one of those guys was saying that the Internet had no commercial use, it wasn't worth any time, et cetera, et cetera. So, the challenge here is to sort of keep your mind, first of all, be informed.
Right.
It doesn't cost you any, but you know, you've gotten a ton of, you've given a ton of very useful pointers on this call where people can look into this further. So it won't cost anybody to be informed. And then it's a matter of starting to use your imagination. You know, for example, I just realized, why couldn't I, we do this, these pre-system seminar calls, and mm-hmm. you know, we've been doing these for years and years and years. I mean, it really amuses me, all these guys now who are bragging about, you know, all the great, you know, they've invented these great marketing methods that never before seen on earth. Well, we've been doing this for 6 years now.
Yeah, I've sat next to some of them when they were unknown.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other story.
I know what you're saying, though. I know what you're saying, that there's sort of the, you know, this is all new kind of a deal.
I often say, if you want to be an internet guru, just come to a few system seminars, and all of a sudden, and take, you know, take some of the stuff that we've been doing years ago and present it as new, and you'll be acclaimed as the greatest new creative genius.
Right.
But that aside, I realize there are a lot of people that listen to these calls and like to listen to them, and one of my challenges is just letting them know that the calls are available when they are available.
Right.
You know, what if I were to set up a text messaging system so that someone could subscribe to? So, for instance, when this call is available and it's on the Internet,
yep.
I could just text them and say, hey, that call with Kim Duszynski on mobile marketing is online right now.
Yep.
Okay, or I'm thinking of another thing. Once somebody has subscribed or has registered for the system, you know, I could remind them, hey, you know, next week is the weekend. Make sure you know. I always like to send pre-system preparation things, you know, things
yeah.
to do, things people can do to get themselves ready. I could put all that.
Yeah, the hotel booking. Don't forget to book your hotel because it's, you know, our contract's going to go away soon.
Oh, this is really good because, you know, so this may be, every medium is different. Every medium has its own particular sweet spot, you know, where
right.
it's most useful, and it seems to me that this is a perfect medium for reminding people of things and alerting them of things and keeping them up to date on things that they need to keep up to date on, especially the text messaging.
Yes, exactly.
So just mechanically, then what I would do And of course, I mean, the other reason this becomes so important is email. I might send an email to everybody and say, hey, you know, the hotel is almost filled out, and you know, we got a great rate, but once we sell the block, you know, the rate on the hotel is going to double. And you know, last year we sold the whole hotel out, and people had to, you know, stay 5 miles away. And mm-hmm. please don't let that happen to you. You know, I send these emails out, and people don't read them. I don't blame them, because I can't keep up with my email anymore either.
I know.
But if we were to put that in a simple text message, just a reminder, you know, we're almost sold out the hotel block. So if you want to stay at the hotel, which we recommend that you do, make sure you call. And we could even give them the number.
Mm-hmm.
They could just sit there and dial it right there from their cell phone and take care of it right then.
Yep, exactly. They might be sitting in a waiting room somewhere and go, hey, perfect. I can book this now while I'm wasting time.
Okay. You know, another way maybe to use this too is when you run your ads, when someone runs an ad and you're trying to, you know, get new business or get someone to come into the store, you can, you know, the ad could say, hey, you know, get 50% off on your first purchase, text us and we'll send you the coupon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy for someone to do, and now they've got this coupon, you know, that's sort of like a hot potato, and it's like, gee, I really should use it.
Yep.
Okay. So the technology was extremely complicated and really expensive. You're discovering that it's slowly but steadily coming down to earth.
Yep.
Earlier in this call, you gave a lot of resources that people can follow up on to figure out the terrain and the landscape of this new medium. But a lot of this is just going to be imagination and just, you know, sort of thinking outside of the box.
Yeah.
What kinds of things will you be covering in Chicago?
I'm going to cover, you know, a basic outline of, you know, how to do the strategy of mobile, so what you need to consider. I'll be covering on how to make sure you provide enough value so that customers want to engage with you. That's really important, because if they don't engage with you, it doesn't work. And then I'll go through the various tools. So, you know, what the tools are and then where to go for it. So I'm going to cram as much as I possibly can into however much time you give me, you know, and I'm just going to go, you know, here's everything, and then I'll have, you know, lots of handouts and resources and, you know, that sort of thing.
Excellent. So we'll actually be able to see the screens and see what a mobile website looks like and see what a mobile search is like and –
yes, exactly.
Kind of,
yeah, and I'll, you know, I'm committing as well to getting a mobile site going, so that I'll have some actual, you know, mm-hmm. here's what I did and how it worked, and you know, my own case study for that as well. So, yeah.
Well, I'm really glad you've invested the time and energy and effort to make sense out of this. You're going to cut the learning curve for a lot of people, and for some businesses. This is going to be, you know, a real boost, if not a gold mine for them. How exactly to use this particular medium may not be immediately obvious. But I think if you just think about your customers and you think about your prospects and you think about, oh, you know, your sales process and the kind of information that they need and the kind of perhaps regular updates that they need on various things related to your business, you may find yourself discovering that you actually could start using mobile marketing. And it's really different. It's not like direct mail or email where we're blasting out these messages.
No.
And, you know, it really is more. First of all, it's completely permission based and opt in based, which is a big leg up for ethical internet marketers, because they're already used to that form of marketing.
Right.
Well, good. Well, Kim, I'm really delighted that you've done this. I don't know anybody else that's even talking about this right now, let alone teaching it in detail. You're going to be joining us on the faculty, which I'm very pleased to have another. We have so many of our system grads mm-hmm. come back as faculty members, and that's one of the things I'm most proud about. It's kind of amazing when you look at all the seminars out there and you never see the graduates of these other seminars ever becoming faculty anywhere, you know.
Right.
They just sort of come. I don't know where they disappear after their seminar experience is over. But, I mean, we've had well over a dozen of our I mean, some big hitters too, like Perry Marshall and Lloyd Irvin and Howie Jacobson and many, many others who've come back and become faculty members. I'm really proud of that. I'm really glad that we're adding you to that list. And again, I'm glad that you're doing this research that most of us don't have the time or the inclination to dig into. And obviously, it's taken a ton of time.
Months. What I sort of just shared here took me, I would say, a good 3 or 4 months to sort of pull all together and figure out how it all worked together. And I don't think I'm particularly slow in any. It's a confusing industry. It's very confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the opportunity, you know, people that can sort it out first and get in on the playing field first can get often get a tremendous first mover advantage.
I'm so excited to be able to share this with system people because it's a good crowd of people that you have that come, and you know, the System Club in particular is, you know, a good group of people. So I'm really excited to be able to share it there.
Great. Well, if you're interested in learning more about mobile marketing and meeting and learning from our other 24 faculty members, we're going to be in Chicago this year, May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. It's System 2008. This is an annual conference. This will be my 14th year of hosting cutting-edge web marketing conferences. We put on the very first one ever. In 1994, and we've aspired every year to make sure that we're at the cutting edge on every year. And I think this year with the mobile marketing, we're going to have some big heavy hitters in the social marketing space. And I want to point out, you know, that's a hot topic now, but this will be the third year that we've been offering training in social marketing. We're also going to have a session on video marketing on the Internet. This is, again, our third year of including that in our curriculum. So we've been very consistent about being on the cutting edge, and we've also been very good on covering the basics and the fundamentals of the business and keeping everything real. You know, we try not to paint, you know, crazy blue sky you know, scenarios, and we just try to look for what really has potential to work. I think the proof is in the pudding when you look at the enormous number of people that have come out of the System Seminar and made a big mark, either, you know, in their own industry or in internet marketing or both. It's pretty significant. So again, that's May 30th, 31st, and June 1st in Chicago. You can find out more and register at thesystemseminar.com. And, Kim, I will see you in Chicago, and thank you so much for taking the time for this call today.
That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you and meeting everyone.
Great.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.